Well, we're back, folks. That wasn't much of a break. But I appreciate that we have more time to spend together. So we were talking about the method of presentment, Pat. And by the way, we have some folks hanging on the line. My apologies. And I know we lost you, Charlotte, but if you call back, we'll try and get you in right after the next break in 4 or 5 minutes. The method of presentment is based upon how much time you have and how much weight you feel you have to bring to the procedure. Pat, have you seen some of the methods of presentment on paper?
Just a little bit. I've been studying that. Mostly I was concentrating on getting the bonds together so that I was familiar with what I was doing and then going on to that.
Very good. Well, the first and easiest and quickest method is a notice of counterclaim. Now, that was redone as early as this morning to include some of the devices that might be present in a more complex method of presentment, such as the fiduciary instructions to go with a promissory note. Now, let me tell you why. The notice of counterclaim generally is being used when there isn't time to develop the full process. So you have to be there in 3 days, 4 days. In goes an indemnity bond to Treasury. We make a photocopy, attach it to a notice of counterclaim. But a notice of counterclaim is such a potent tool, especially because it's so easy to defend in court. Is there a defect in my counterclaim? And you stick with that, just like Arthur did, whom we interviewed a number of weeks ago, that we felt we wanted to expand its use in other directions. So we've now taken the notice of counterclaim and we've included it in the more complex method of presentment known as comprehensive administrative process in the option 3 folder. And we'll go into that in just a minute. But we also realized that the notice of counterclaim might be very usable when you want a not-so-complicated method of presentment, and you do have a few extra days. So if that were your situation, Pat, instead of using the notice of counterclaim with a copy of the indemnity bond attached to it, you could actually develop the bonded promissory note 4 days later and include that original with the notice of counterclaim to be served privately upon the fiduciaries, such as the clerk and the judge, with a copy of the indemnity bond and the offset bond that is being routed through. But if you're going to include a bonded promissory note, then you'd better include the fiduciary instructions. So now we have adapted those to the notice of counterclaim method. It's still quick and easy, and it still goes through a notary, but it could use the bonded promissory note and bring to bear the full weight of the joint beneficiary concept, the beneficiaries in common approach that makes the bonded promissory note so potentially lethal in a judicial setting. But if you have time and you have a complex case and you want to develop a more potent process that is equipped with some very powerful self-executing bells and whistles, such as a self-executing confession of judgment, a self-executing power of attorney, a schedule of the other party's default confessions and stipulations, and all of those things, then you would resort to option 3, which is the comprehensive administrative process for presenting the bonded promissory note. The core of that is a 6-page foreign advisory letter, and it, in fact, would allow you to pick and choose what you think is most appropriate to your scenario. It has everything in it. Sometimes that can be a handicap, especially if someone is new to a process like BIC. But it does have everything.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world? Jesus answered them, You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and wars, secret societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F. 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715.
The ideology powering the Democrats and Republicans is not liberalism or conservatism, but globalism. Globalists are concerned with what's good for big business and the American empire instead of what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism. Start reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times promotes a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning party line. Published monthly since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a 20-page newspaper featuring outstanding writers and columnists who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Be one of the many thousands of loyal readers of the Nationalist Times. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times. Just $19 for 1 year. That's 50% off the regular price. Send your $19 subscription to the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. That's the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. Or subscribe online at our website, www.anu.org.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
Welcome back, friends. This is Take No Prisoners at the Republic Broadcasting Network. Let me apologize again. We had another power surge in the booth, and apparently we lost my connection again, and I don't really know where, so I'll just pick up. Let me thank Pat for having joined us. We have a number of other callers that I'd like to get to. Thank you, Pat, very much. And let me also just finish up, if I may, on the topic of presentment, which brings us to the notary. All methods of presentment that I use occur based upon the power of due presentment that I was reading you from the New York State notary law earlier. The notary has the power to make due presentment of, how did it state it? Let's see here. Proof of deeds, mortgages, and powers of attorney and other instruments in writing, semicolon, and then the law says, the statute says, to demand acceptance or payment of foreign and inland bills of exchange. So her letter could say right at the top, demand for acceptance or demand for payment. And we often have the notary provide instruments requiring payment if the offeror has not included their check, their money order, their settlement statement, or their consideration with their offer. And in all my years, I don't think they ever have included that. So the notary can make demand for payment of, quote, foreign and inland bills of exchange, promissory notes, and obligations in writing, and to protest the same for non-acceptance or non-payment as the case may require, and listen to this, and for use in another jurisdiction to exercise, now here's another power of the notary, to exercise such other powers and duties as by the laws of nations and according to commercial usage, or by the laws of any other government or country, may be exercised and performed by notaries public, provided that when exercising such powers, he shall set forth the name of such other jurisdiction. So your notary in your state is, excuse me, if you were using a notary in New York State, and your state did not have powers attributable to this particular state, the notary in the state of New York could use the powers available in any state to be able to assist your situation. However, what I just read you is about as broad as the powers of a notary will get in any venue, and basically including the power of affidavits, depositions, due presentment, and demand for payment. And that's an awful lot of power, as we've seen from our administrative remedies. 10 days after we make presentment, the notary issues a certificate of non-performance. And I would very much, after the next break, like to get to those specific certificates and demonstrate what some of the particular traits are that make them so powerful and how they can be used in many circumstances to terminate the case or at least have the case disappear from the public rolls. Now, before we do that, I'd like to go to Charlotte in California, who I know has been on the line for some time. Charlotte, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Hello, Charlotte. Thank you for joining us. My apologies for the delay.
No problem.
You have a question.
Yes, I have a case in court right now regarding a living trust. It's been in court since September 2005. My sister and I removed the case from state to federal, but the judge proceeded without my sister and I being at the trial, and he awarded the plaintiffs a judgment in their favor.
In the state court.
So a friend of ours early has been assisting us, and we wrote some promissory notes to take care of this judgment debt, but the court has rejected it, of course. So we're wondering what is the best method to set the case down immediately. Should we use a deposition with a notary?
Well, let me ask you a few questions.
Mm-hmm.
How did you present the promissory note?
My notary walked in and he presented them directly to the clerk of the court.
To the clerk of the court. So they were presented privately, not within the court venue itself.
Right.
And did the notary provide any instructions with the promissory note?
The fiduciary instructions that came with your package.
I see. So you have a hold of some of my materials.
Yes.
Do you mind if I ask how you got those?
Through a friend.
Okay. And was the friend an attendee at the Law Merchant Leadership Conference?
Yes.
Okay. So have you consulted with the friend as to what the next step ought to be?
Somewhat, when we were able to catch up with the friend.
Yes. Well, this is probably a good topic, Charlotte. You sound like a nice gal.
Thank you.
And is this your first foray into commerce?
Yes, it is.
Okay. That's one of the problems that I see in these situations. And I've been preaching against this for a long, long time, Charlotte, that people begin processes and they don't fully, and in many cases they don't really understand what the process is that they're undertaking. It's sort of like if you walk into the cockpit of a 747 after a friend tutored you on a simulator for an hour and felt that you could fly the jet coast to coast. Or you decided to perform abdominal surgery on someone after taking a correspondence course. I literally view that kind of intervention as being highly dangerous to the principles, with a great potential for shooting oneself in the foot and suffering consequences from it. In addition, it's almost impossible to have the scenario work out favorably if one doesn't really have a solid working understanding of what they're doing and who they are. Have you filed any UCC-1s or financing statements in the past?
Yes, we have.
Good. So you have some of that experience. When was that?
Yeah, I worked with a couple of other groups that are doing some similar things, so I have a little bit of experience.
Very good. Well, that's all helpful because I wish you the best, and I'd like to see you succeed. Well, first of all, we'd like these things to occur on the private side, if at all possible, and stay out of the public, settle it privately. So in a scenario like you recommended, 10 days later, we have our notary issue a certificate of non-performance, non-payment, non-response, dishonor, call it what you will. Has your notary done that?
I've just prepared that for him. There's one question I had where it says signed by a flesh man, that would be me. But it says requesting, and what am I requesting? Liquidation? What would go in that blank space?
I'm not following what document you're talking about because there wouldn't be any request on the notary's certificate itself.
Oh, okay. This particular document says certificate of non-performance slash dishonor.
Okay.
It has a dollar amount, the total dollar amount, and the state and county and so forth, the bonded promissory note number.
Very good. And what part of that document are you questioning? Because my recollection is that document doesn't necessarily have what you were implying. So why don't you lead me to it, and I'll see if I can answer the question.
Okay. About midway down, it says duly presented on the attached bonded promissory note and the number, the date, and then to whom submitted to, and that was the clerk of the court, the judge and the clerk of the court, signed by myself, Charles S. Neat, requesting, then there's a blank space there, the time limit having elapsed acceptance thereof.
Yes, what did you request of them? Settling the account, zeroing the account, something of that sort. Or what I like to put on them, apparently, see, that's in a little text box that's floating, so someone must have clicked on it and hit delete and it's gone.
Right.
But normally what I would put in that is post credit to account number such and such.
Post credit to account.
Isn't that what you want? Post?
Yes.
Post the payment. It would even be better to say post payment to account number such and such.
Okay.
All right, does that answer the question?
Sure it does.
But you focused, this is a perfect question, and I want to thank you because you're focusing right in on where I wanted to go, where I promised the audience we would go tonight, and that is the notary portion of this process. So why don't you hang on the line, Charlotte? Maybe you can get something out of this that would be useful if you don't mind.
I sure will. Thank you so much for your help.
All right. Well, don't go away then. Let's go over this. When a notary that I'm working with makes presentment of the initial promissory note, the notary gives instructions, not just the fiduciary instructions, but there might be other presentment methods as well, such as the notice of counterclaim or the comprehensive administrative remedy. And when those go in, the receiver is given notice, of certain things. And that might be that in 10 days, the notary will certify their acceptance or their non-performance, their dishonor, and will certify that they've received a warning that that dishonor would comprise their confession of certain things. So 10 days later, when they have failed to perform, as they usually do, the notary sends out a second process. Now, in the comprehensive administrative remedy, that process is actually noted as mailings number 3 and 4. The initial presentment is mailing 1. Mailing 2 is the return of the mailing documents to me, since I use a lot of out-of-state notaries. Mailing 3 would be the presentment of the notary's certificate of non-performance to that same party. And mailing 4 would be the return of those documents to me. So as it stands, the notary is really making 2 presentments to them. And we will review that second presentment in 3 minutes after the break. Charlotte, stick with us, please. Folks, you're listening to Take No Prisoners at the Republic Broadcasting Network. I'm Dr. Sam Kennedy. Please join us in 3 minutes. 3 minutes.
Have you heard of a privacy crisis? Odds are you're already immersed in one. The U.S. government is now legally tapping phones, monitoring emails, tracking purchases, and seizing property in record numbers. Banks are demanding invasive personal information for even the smallest transaction. Unfortunately, stalkers looking to harm you or your financial situation are using the same methods. So how can you protect yourself, your loved ones, and all that you own? Well, the first step is to purchase the most important how-to book you'll ever read. It's called Privacy Crisis by author Grant Hall. In minutes, you'll know the methods he himself has used and advised others about in order to bank anonymously, open a safety deposit box without a social security number. With Privacy Crisis, you'll discover how to avoid judgments, seal your credit files airtight, drop off the radar, and virtually disappear from those looking to cause you injury. The ebook and hardcover versions are available at www.privacycrisis.com. Grant Hall's Privacy Crisis contains information and legal methods the powers that be don't want you to know. Travel, bank, work, and live anonymously, live free. You can also order Privacy Crisis by telephone. Call 702-433-6222.
Businesses and their employees are facing constant increases in group medical insurance premiums. Employees are shouldering more of the burden themselves. Core Documents, the nation's primary source for affordable medical plan documents, has the answer. A health reimbursement arrangement, or HRA. Business owners, managers, find out now how your company can utilize a much higher deductible health insurance policy and establish an HRA to fund low deductibles for your employees. And employees, tell the boss to visit coredocuments.com now. This new HRA plan can save you thousands of dollars.
Employers all over the country are discovering how to roll back insurance costs using Core Documents HRA concept. Core Documents is the nation's primary source for affordable plan documents required by the IRS and Department of Labor for Section 125 and HRA plans. Use your insurance agent and let Core Documents help you with plan design. Do a Google search for Core Documents or see us at coredocuments.com. That's Core, C-O-R-E. Documents, plural.com.
I found this company online, and they had this really unique variety of salt wellness products. I read some of the articles and ended up ordering this beautiful salt lamp. According to the company, they said that the salt crystal lamps gently purify indoor air. I was so amazed. I put it in the baby's room, and it made a perfect nightlight. Both my husband and I could tell the difference.
SoleWellness.com is a unique company that offers salt wellness products from around the world.
So, I went back to the site and ordered their Soleil Simple Natural Cleaning Products, also made with Himalayan salt. I figured it would clean really well. The natural cleaning products worked wonderfully, and there was no scent. This company has so many products my whole family can enjoy and feel better with. Plus, the service was great.
If you're interested in natural, homeopathic, time-tested remedies, visit SoleilWellness.com. That's S-O-L-A-Y Wellness.com. Or call 312-224-2710. 312-224-2710.
Welcome back, folks. Let's not waste any time. This is Take No Prisoners at the Republic Broadcasting Network. The material we're about to review is something we would review on, I believe, the second day of the Law Merchant Leadership Conference in Albany, New York. I am inviting you to please join us. This is a five-day extravaganza. We cover the entire BIC process, including Charlotte, the enforcement strategies, which is what I think you are probably wondering about at this point. How do we stop the process on the public side cold? So let's see if we can lead to that. You're still with us, Charlotte. Charlotte, are you still there?
Yes, I am.
Very good. Nice to have you. So when 10 days later, after any of the presentment methods, it's time for the notary to issue a certificate. Now, the first thing to know about a notary's certificate of protest, non-performance, dishonor, I'll just refer to it as a certificate of dishonor, is that it is an ex parte device. It does not have to be presented at all. It's a judgment, but they've already been advised the judgment will be issued. There is no requirement to present it. But we like to present it, and we present it to those people who are named on the certificate, and those would be the fiduciary or co-fiduciaries on the bonded promissory note. Is that clear, Charlotte?
Yes.
Good. Now, we make that presentment for a particular reason, to try and motivate compliance with the judgment. There's no other reason why we would waste the stamp to put it in their hands. But when we present it, since we are going to use a stamp, why not put the stamp to good use? What we do when our notaries issue a certificate of non-performance or dishonor is we assemble an evidence packet and we file it in the county. We've made special arrangements with our county, and they'll file it for $5 and certify each copy, no matter how many pages in it, for $5, which is a pretty good deal. And that evidence packet would include the following things, and this is the latest version, and I mean this is hot off the presses, just completed this past week, which has been incorporated into all of our presentment methods. It would include, at the very front of the packet, a 3-day offer of immunity like we reviewed at the Law Merchant Leadership Conference. And that 3-day offer of immunity is our way of saying, hey, look, we're good Christian men and women, and we would prefer to save you rather than destroy you, and here is your opportunity to cure. In other words, we're exhausting our administrative remedy. We might attach to it a notice of counterclaim, which has now been incorporated into the comprehensive administrative remedy, as well as the standalone notice of counterclaim. It's pretty much the same document. But now, when the notary issues a certificate 10 days after the comprehensive remedy was served upon them, now that automatically has a notice of counterclaim with it. We might staple to the notary certificate as page 2, if it's not the notice of counterclaim, we might staple the schedule, what we call Schedule D, default confessions, stipulations, and admissions, so that all they have to do is turn the first page and they can see, oh my goodness, I stipulated to the value and validity of the instrument. I stipulated that there are no facts in dispute. I stipulated that I have waived all rights to raise a controversy. I have stipulated that I'm the holder in due course. I've stipulated that I'm holding all liability by way of conversion, and on and on. Or we might staple to it as page 2, the self-executing confession of judgment. Page 2, I have confessed to owing those folks the full amount on the instrument. We might staple to it the self-executing power of attorney. And we might even staple to it the next certificate of non-performance when they fail to respond to this packet, to this presentment. All of that done to convince the folks that we're not playing around, that we now have a confession of, they understand confession of judgment, and they understand default confessions, and they certainly understand a notice of counterclaim. So in that manner, the notary is our best friend, and we want to treat him or her well. We don't necessarily want to marry them like Pat did, but we certainly want to treat them like a good friend, and if we're constructing the documents, we want to make sure and ensure that those documents do not place them in jeopardy. So, for instance, what you'll notice on the notice of dishonor that you have in your hands, Charlotte, is that the notary doesn't make a statement that if you fail to respond, that will comprise your confession or your stipulation to the following. But the notary does say that she is certifying that they received notice that if they failed to respond, they would be confessing judgment and stipulating to the following default stipulations, which are attached here, too. You see the subtle difference between those two?
Yeah.
One places the notary in great jeopardy. The other is merely making due presentment. And so that is the way in which we utilize a notary for effect, and then from that point on, they have defaulted on the administrative process. And we'll, after the break, we'll, I think, pick up this discussion with the default of the administrative process and where we go to enforce it thereafter. You're listening to Take No Prisoners at the Republic Broadcasting Network. I'm Dr. Sam Kennedy. You don't want to miss the next segment, folks.
Thank you. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Hi, Steve Shank, Fearless Task Force. Sure, you've got a mortgage and credit cards. Your debt creation is probably the smartest thing you've ever done. How would it be to find $75,000, $150,000, $200,000 or more you never knew you had? Now the task force has strategies to make these debts into virtual savings accounts. Ben Franklin said, a penny saved is a penny earned. By doing nothing more than you're doing right now, because you've used your credit, the right strategies can make the debt part of your financial life the smartest thing you've ever done. Oh, by the way, your strategies cost you nothing out of pocket. Go ahead and check out the debt elimination scams if you'd like to. You wouldn't take money from a loan shark, so you may not want to give your money to a debt shark. For an understanding of what a financial genius you truly are, call 800-409-5633. On the web, mydebtfreepath.com. 800-409-5633.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately one in four families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits. No increase to your monthly mortgage payments, no refinancing, and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a bi-weekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
Welcome back, friends. This is Take No Prisoners at the Republic Broadcasting Network. If you'd like to immerse yourself in this BIC technology, then please send an email to Roberta at robertat@hush.com, and she'll send you a registration form for the Law Merchant Leadership Conference to be held the first week of August. It's a five-day comprehensive conference. We cover it all, including case studies, presentation, and a real fruitful discussion of all of the aspects of really applying this technology. Because I've said it once, and I'd like to repeat it now, I do not recommend that anyone undertake this. This program is for your entertainment, for your enjoyment of the love of learning. But you would be crazy to apply any technology without understanding who you are, what the technology can do, and what the risks involved in the use of that technology might be. That said, Charlotte, I hope you're still with us.
Yes, I am.
Good. So now it's time to apply the notary's certificate. Now, there are many ways one can go. The things I'm talking about are just suggestions that I might follow if I was in a situation. But frankly, Charlotte, we could walk that notary certificate into the back of a courtroom, wait until they're done for their night, and then they call on you. Do you have any business with the court, sir or ma'am? Yes, I do. And here is a counterclaim I need to give to you tonight. Attached to a notice of counterclaim, which is included with the notary certificate in the latest version of the comprehensive administrative process, you could present in open court a notice of counterclaim, which would advise them, along with the notary certificate, that you're about to embark on some of the enforcement strategies. Here's my counterclaim. Is there a defect in it? You could handle the entire thing in open court if you wanted, if you were a good litigator, if you're a quick thinker on your feet, and not have to get involved in much of the paperwork. Other people feel they have to rely heavily on paperwork or don't have confidence in their procedures in court. And still others will stand on their right of avoidance and handle the whole thing privately and ignore the have confidence that the private will eventually spill over into the public through the Treasury liquidation process. And others may choose to use a 3-day offer of immunity attached to the notary certificate, which is basically advising that here is 3 days because I am deeply concerned that my recent payment in the amount of however much the promissory note was that was previously presented, has presented under notary seal, I might ask, has disappeared, last seen in your possession, and I'd like to give you an opportunity to disprove the assumption that the funds were stolen from the Admiralty or that you participated in the theft of funds from the Special Maritime Jurisdiction. So the 3-day offer of immunity is an excellent opportunity to let them know that the burden of the proof of claim is upon them, and if they fail to fulfill that burden of proof, then the consequences can be substantial. For instance, the consequences can involve a Treasury liquidation process in which the Department of Treasury is instructed to take the funds created by the liability, which is now in their hand by their dishonor, and make a deposit, usually to the United States Treasury. And then, because the books are out of balance, to secure those funds from the public hazard bond of the dishonoring party. Or they could be advised that IRS will be advised by way of a particular 1099. I'm not recommending that, and I'm not suggesting it's even a 1099 OID. There are a number of ways to do this. But they could be advised that the party holding the instrument has suffered a gain, a reportable gain. And that might be a very influential piece of information for that party to understand. They might be advised that a criminal complaint has been prepared, and here's a tentative unsigned draft copy of it, indicating that we will be hauling you before a grand jury, if we have to, ourselves, to explain under oath what happened to the funds. Or they could be advised that Treasury and the Comptroller General will be given notice that the funds deposited into a pending or adjudicated judicial case have not, at this time, appeared to be transferred to the Department of Treasury, as is the statutory requirement. Now, we would never use the word statute in it, but we would say, we might say something, as is the requirement or the mandate, and you'll have to account for those funds, and we'll be petitioning the Comptroller General and the Attorney General, the Comptroller General and the Secretary of the Treasury to issue a distress warrant to the marshals of that district to locate that property. And on. There are a good half dozen initial enforcement strategies that one could give warning of in the 3-day offer of immunity. Or one could go immediately and say, forget the warning, I'm going to file a 1099 and I'm going to start Treasury liquidation, all of which takes an hour, and start the ball rolling because they are holding the funds and not crediting it. What would you do if Macy's didn't credit your check? You'd raise the roof. you wouldn't let them sit on your payment and keep sending you bills, would you, Charlotte?
No, sir.
Right. And if you, so all of that is done privately. But if you felt, due to circumstances or due to bluffs on their side, that you had to appear on the public side, and you walk in there and plaintiff's attorney or the prosecutor or even the judge, as happened, says, this thing has no value, and we've had all of those happen this week, by the way, judge, plaintiff's attorney, and prosecutor in different cases all said that, this has no value. Well, if the plaintiff's attorney said that, I'd look at the judge and say, judge, would you please ask Mr. Jones to step down so I can question him under oath, and we'll turn this into an evidentiary hearing, and to ask him whether or not he has firsthand knowledge of that to which he attempted to testify, and whether or not he brought a certificate of protest or a notice of dishonor on the instrument from the drawee. And if he didn't, and then you can have fun with that, or you could look at the judge and say, Your Honor, I think you need to read Mr. Jones' Miranda rights, because didn't it sound to you like it sounded to me that he just confessed to his intention to withhold those funds, withhold public funds from the Secretary of the Treasury for his own personal use, gain, and enjoyment? Now, the judge may come back and say something like, that instrument has no value. Well, Your Honor, if you keep up that line, I may ask the bailiff to read you his Miranda rights, because it sounds to me like you're in conspiracy with this fellow, or at least suborning a theft of funds from the Admiralty. Would you like to step down so we can question you under oath as to your first-hand knowledge of the value and validity of the instrument? I wouldn't take any of that crap from them. Excuse me. Excuse my language and excuse my attitude. I wouldn't bring this attitude to court, but I would let them know in no uncertain terms by looking them right in the eye and letting them know that, sir, you may get away with that stuff all day long under statutes with other folks, but it's not going to work with me. Now, either credit the account or get out of the way. That's my attitude about it, but I'm going to do it all by questioning. Well, Your Honor, it sounds to me like you want to testify in this case, so why don't you step down so we can take testimony from you? In fact, this is my notary right here, and she tells me she wants to call a deposition right now so that you can testify in front of all these parties whether or not you have firsthand knowledge of the value and validity or a defect in the instrument, because I'm more than willing to correct the instrument right now and make all parties whole. Or are you denying me my remedy? In which case I'd start issuing some warnings to the judge that he'd better be careful, because he's incurring an awful lot of liability. Or as Winston said probably 10 years ago, are your pockets deep enough to handle the liability you're creating here today? And that statement rings as good today as it was back then. One just has to know who one is to be able to engage the commercial powers that way. And that's why, Charlotte, I say this isn't necessarily for the faint of heart. So one has to consider exactly if one is ready to undertake the risks with respect to the gains and benefits that we hope for in these situations. Do you have any final question regarding your situation?
Well, what they did is they turned all the documents to the notary.
They returned them to the notary?
They sure did.
Very good.
They stated Civil Procedure Code 995.710, which we call the state archivist to see if it was bonded. It's not bonded. They sent us a copy of it. And the copy does not say that the courts cannot accept bonds. It said they can accept bonds, but in lieu of bonds, they'll also accept, you know, different things, cash. Checks and what have you. But they did not say or state that they could not accept.
Yeah, well, I don't care what it says, because when I'm in commerce, I operate by the rules of commerce and my rules, and I don't care about their rules, and I'll look them right in the eye and say it. I recommend in those situations, one gets a big red stamp that says, at Staples, an instant stamp that they'll produce for it, and it says, not for a private issue, not for public filing, and stamp it right on each document. And then, if that were me, I consider that a blessing when they send it back, because that's stupid mistake number two.
Right.
And every time they make a stupid mistake, I wind up subrogating all the rights and they wind up converting all the liability. So we have a little packet, and if you send it over, if you send me over an email at takenoprisoners@hush.com and ask for the uncooperative clerk package, we have a nice administrative remedy for that, and we have never once received documents back after they've been resent in with that particular administrative process. So why don't you do that, Charlotte? Thank you for calling, and that may help you a certain amount. I'm not recommending you use it, but I will send it to you, and you decide if it's something appropriate for your usage.
Okay, great. I thank you, and I appreciate your help.
Thanks very much for calling, Charlotte. I understand we have Jim in Rhode Island on the line. Jim, are you there?
Yes, I am, Sam. How are you?
Good, Jim. How are you? Do I know you, Jim?
I don't think so. I heard about you through an email, which I received a few days ago, from a notary in California who did the notarial protest for me. Her name was Doreen. She advised me to listen to you. And you know what? I've been listening, and most of what you say is applicable. It's just that most of us, when we encounter these people in the courts, their arrogancy and the negativity that they use to intimidate you is quite strong.
Yes, it is. There's no doubt about that. They're experts in that. But you know what would help? Go on the web and download the judge's manual. Just Google judge's manual, and you'll find probably a federal judge's manual, maybe a couple of state ones. Get the most recent ones you can and read them over, and you'll see exactly what their strategies and tactics are.
Yeah,
the fact is, they're not really all that much aware of what they're doing. They've been trained to force stipulation. They must work by stipulation.
Yeah, well, we went at them with, I had, like I said, we went through the notarial protest, the certificate of non-response. My notary has been a friend of mine for many a years. Every time we served paperwork onto the attorneys that foreclosed on my home, they foreclosed on my home twice. They refused the acceptance for value presentment, which we drew up, which was the promissory note. I've been battling them for 2 years. Then all of a sudden I've got a notice from them after I did the notarial protest and after all the default stipulations of the certificates of non-response and the fact that all these things created a private estoppel. All of that was sent to them. The attorneys that handled my case have them, but they went into the district courts anyways. I filed a judicial notice with them as to third-party intravenous. I'm not representing pro se, or nor am I an attorney. I'm in speaking as a secured party, the holder in due course. I have my filings. I have all my paperwork in order. And all of a sudden, last week, they showed up at my doorstep with two police officers and a constable.
And
I had to vacate my home.
Yes. Well, that is unfortunate. You weren't able to enforce the estoppel, apparently.
Right. Because
yeah. So,
it was served, and then I even went to the sheriff's office where I thought they seeked an alternative. I refused service from them in the first place. So that bought me a little bit more time, and in buying a little bit more time, they just came to my home and they just trampled over everything. So, I mean,
yeah.
They have guns.
Well,
we don't. You know what I mean? And even though
we hear that all the time, unfortunately.
Yeah.
I'm willing to bet you didn't do a treasury liquidation process.
No.
And you didn't draw up a criminal complaint as a backup strategy for presentation to the grand jury.
What I did do was I sent to the family court judge, which was a judge, Walter Gorman. I sent him a copy of the secretary's, the notarial protest, authenticated as the apostille from the Secretary of Treasury or the Secretary of State from California. Because no one in this area knew how to do a notary. I'm a notary now myself.
That's very good, because it's a powerful position. But it's, you know, the story I'm hearing from you, unfortunately, is a time-worn story for me. I hear it all day long because people get caught short at the enforcement stage. And what happened in your case, as happens in so many others, unfortunately, is that you never were able to engage them with proof of claim under oath.
Right.
And that's what it takes to turn them around. while you're waiting for Treasury to work. Now, you didn't enlist Treasury either.
No.
There are some very powerful methods. I can't go into it on the air. I wouldn't go into it on the air.
Okay.
But we will be covering at the Law Merchant Conference, and this is not a shameless plug like the other plugs.
Right.
This is just a matter of fact that there are some things we'll be covering at the Law Merchant Conference, which, by the way, are so new and yet potent, not new in the sense of unproven new, but evolutionary, that we didn't cover them at the last Law Merchant Conference. But there are some things brewing, and people know I don't talk lightly, that are potentially devastating. Ways that we will be able to make the point immediately that the Treasury process is cooking.
Yeah, because if you...
And in fact, if I may, one of those ways has been proven in actual usage at least 100 times, and we'll pick that up after the break. That music means we have a break coming up in for about 3 minutes. So we'll continue with Jim from Rhode Island after the break on Take No Prisoners at the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Have you heard of a privacy crisis? Odds are you're already immersed in one. The U.S. government is now legally tapping phones, monitoring emails, tracking purchases, and seizing property in record numbers. Banks are demanding invasive personal information for even the smallest transaction. Unfortunately, stalkers looking to harm you or your financial situation are using the same methods. So how can you protect yourself, your loved ones, and all that you own? Well, the first step is to purchase the most important how-to book you'll ever read. It's called Privacy Crisis by author Grant Hall. In minutes, you'll know the methods he himself has used and advised others about in order to bank anonymously, open a safety deposit box without a social security number. With Privacy Crisis, you'll discover how to avoid judgments, seal your credit files airtight, drop off the radar, and virtually disappear from those looking to cause you injury. The ebook and hardcover versions are available at www.privacycrisis.com. Grant Hall's Privacy Crisis contains information and legal methods the powers that be don't want you to know. Travel, bank, work, and live anonymously, live free. You can also order Privacy Crisis by telephone. Call 702-433-6222.
All right, employees, listen up. Our group health insurance premium just went up again. In fact, it's doubled in the last 4 years, and now we've been forced to try something new. So we're increasing the annual deductible from $500 to $2,500. Okay, cut the moaning. The good news is you'll all still only have to pay your regular $500 deductible. The company is installing a new health reimbursement arrangement, or HRA plan, that will pay up to $2,000 in benefits only to those employees who have deductible expenses. This new HRA plan is saving us a lot of money.
Employers all over the country are discovering how to roll back insurance costs using Core Documents' HRA concept. Core Documents is the nation's primary source for affordable plan documents required by the IRS and Department of Labor for Section 125 and HRA plans. Use your insurance agent and let Core Documents help you with plan design. Do a Google search for Core Documents or see us at coredocuments.com. That's Core, C-O-R-E, documents, plural, .com.
I found this company online, and they had this really unique variety of salt wellness products. I read some of the articles and ended up ordering this beautiful salt lamp. According to the company, they said that the salt crystal lamps gently purify indoor air. I was so amazed. I put it in the baby's room, and it made a perfect nightlight. Both my husband and I could tell the difference.
SoleWellness.com is a unique company that offers salt wellness products from around the world.
So, I went back to the site and ordered their Soleil Simple Natural Cleaning Products, also made with Himalayan salt. I figured it would clean really well. The natural cleaning products worked wonderfully, and there was no scent. This company has so many products my whole family can enjoy and feel better with. Plus, the service was great.
If you're interested in natural, homeopathic, time-tested remedies, visit SoleilWellness.com. That's S-O-L-A-Y Wellness.com. Or call 312-224-2710. 312-224-2710.
Welcome back, friends. This is the final segment, unfortunately, at Take No Prisoners at the Republic Broadcasting Network. Jim,
yes.
I'm going to have to cut you short. What I'd like you to do, if you would, is call in again next week. I'd like to talk to you more about your case. Remind Manny, my very fine producer, everybody should wave hello to Manny, that I asked you to call in, and it was a continuation from this week. Would you do that?
Yes, I will. I will do that.
Very good, and I'll try not to keep you on hold as long. Thanks for calling.
No, that's fine. Thank you. What was the email again?
Take no prisoners at hush.com.
Okay.
Thank you, Jim. Jeff, you're on the line. Jeff, are you still there from Arizona? I guess we lost Jeff. Well, folks, what I was saying before this segment, Jeff, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. You hear me?
Hi, Jeff. My apologies. Hang on just for 1 second, then we'll get about 1 minute, but we'll see what we can do in that time. What I was saying was that there is a technology. I was talking with a good friend of mine, and he's used the technology in non-Patriot format at least 100 times with the exact same predictable result, and it's exactly what we've been playing around with on the Patriot side as well. So we have some very potent tools for enforcing the BIC instruments, and we'll review those. It's not for on the air, but that's something that we would cover at the Law Merchant Leadership Conference. Jeff, how are you?
Fine, thank you.
Thank you for being patient. What can I do for you? What's the question?
Regarding this commercial affidavit process, I've made a claim against a municipality and a corporation for damages, 4 days in jail, and we did the notary protest. And so the problem we're running up against now is the collection part of it. So that would be my question.
That's a big question, and that is something that we covered pretty heavily. We did at the last Law Merchant Leadership Conference. Boy, that's a big topic. Obviously, I'm not going to get to answer that today, but let me say this, that there are a number of ways of monetizing commercial liens, and sometimes it really depends on the creativity of the party that's using it. There has not been a lot of luck in the attempts that have been made to get risk management to pay those claims. But there have been some very interesting successes in writing instruments against the commercial claims and also making deposits of those in corporate settings and also some other technology that we're working on. There is also the possibility of a bankruptcy action if it's done right. So you're not without resources to do that, but you probably won't be able to do it through a legitimate court setting. You would have to be an awfully fine litigator. Although if you were to take it into a judicial setting, it would be for judicial review with limited jurisdiction and attempting to get a judgment in that manner. There is also the possibility of running a confession of judgment right under the nose of a clerk and having her sign off on it. And that's really a matter of putting it in a format which is similar to them and familiar to them, and they just process those through all day long without the judge's signature. So there is a lot that can be done with those, but it's not something, I guess, that we can talk about tonight. So my apologies for delaying so long in getting to your call. Folks, that brings us to the end of another two-hour session. I wish it was 4 hours. I want to thank you for joining me. Please tune us in next week, next Sunday at 9 p.m. And remember, you can download the program from the Republic Archives right immediately after we're off the air. I'm Dr. Sam Kennedy. It's my pleasure to be here. Thank you for joining me. Tune in again next week to Take No Prisoners. Good night and have a great week. God bless.
It's true. Gold and silver.